we go.
Dr. Evil, we have a problem.
This is gonna be cool.
I mean, after all, you're nerds.
They look like a couple of dorks.
Perfect. We couldn't have planned this better.
As of this moment, they're on double secret probation.
What's happening, hot stuff?
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
What? English, do you speak it?
Yes.
Then you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
And welcome, everyone, to the Sports Report. I am Packer Dave. Glad to be with you today. The Super Bowl coming up. It is the Patriots against the Eagles. The Patriots and the Jaguars was a pretty good game, but the Jaguars could not hang on. Tom Brady worked his magic again and asked the Falcons, you may get the lead, a big lead, but in the end...
Oh, it's hopeless.
And also congratulations to the Philadelphia Eagles for crushing the Minnesota Vikings. Yes, indeed, a very happy crowd here. They move on to take on the Patriots in Minnesota. What a dumb idea, a Super Bowl in February in the state of Minnesota. But they're doing it. Nice new stadium there. It's a rematch of the Super Bowl after the 2004 season, played in 2005. Brady was in both of them. That was when Terrell Owens and Donovan McNabb were with the Eagles, and they just couldn't come up with a victory there. Some don't like Tom Brady. He is accused of being a cheater, and people don't like the fact that he wins too much. But you have to look at this as the Patriots is one of the greatest dynasties ever, and Tom Brady, the greatest player at his position and most valuable to his franchise. It is the eighth Super Bowl for Tom Brady. He's 5-2, and Bill Belichick, 5-2 at this point. Some real nail biters amongst those games. So we'll have a lot coming up on the show. Jeff Rich from the Sports Byline USA Network will join us. Also, Steve Leventhal from SRN Broadcasting in Chicago. Then later in the program, we'll talk a little hockey with John Poulter from Toronto, all coming up on the Sports Report. Stick around.
Did you know that the average yearly repair bill for a car 5 years or older is more than $1,200? Having repair coverage for your car just makes sense, but the trick is not to overpay for it. With Toco Warranty, you can get a highly rated vehicle protection plan usually for less than a tank of gas per month. And now, we're offering a zero down payment program. To get a great car vehicle protection plan at a super low price, call Toco Warranty at 1-800-987-3157. That's 1-800-987-3157. Terms and conditions apply.
My mind is a raging torrent, flooded with rivulets of thought, cascading into a waterfall of creative alternatives.
God darn it, Mr. Lamar. You use your tongue prettier than a $20 whore.
I went to a football game, the Packers and the Bears. I got so bummed I did not know the score or even care. I threw up on a Bears fan, he said he'd call the cops. I said that's fine, but all in time now.
Please pass the shots!
Hi, this is Len Dawson, formerly of the Kansas City Chiefs. Packer Dave, you know a lot about a lot of things, but you don't know jack cheese about football.
Philadelphia Eagles looking for their first Super Bowl win ever. It's going to be tough against the resilient Tom Brady and the New England Patriots. Please pass the schnapps. And to discuss this, let's hear from New England coach Bill Belichick, his thoughts on the Eagles.
They run the ball. They throw it deep. Play action. They have a lot of misdirection plays. It's a great West Coast offense. Which we know the elements of that, but again, this is very unique with their players, and so kind of where they were with Sproles, and have obviously moved off of that, and so things like that. The quarterback situation, but whatever it is, they've continued to be very productive and very disruptive on defense, and so it's just a process. We're going through it. We're not there yet by any means.
Here's defensive back Devin McCourty on the Eagles overcoming their injuries.
Good football team. Phil knows we were at Comcast yesterday in Mayo talked about that, you know, as much as everyone talked about, you know, Tom's hand and how big of a deal that was. He talked about the team being an overall good team. And I think that's the same thing with the Eagles, you know, Wentz, Sproles, Peters. You know, you have all these guys that go down, you know, that usually hurts a lot of teams. But when you have a good overall team, I think that believes in each other. And each guy in that locker room, you saw, they just kept rolling. And I think a lot of people doubted them, thinking, like, you know, they were done, because obviously Wentz is a really good football player. But, you know, it just shows football is a team game. You need to have an overall good football team, especially to be playing in this last game. You know, you rarely hear a team that has, you know, just a one-star player or just good on one side of the ball and or just good on offense and defense and the worst special team. Like, that just doesn't happen to get to this point. So you'll see two good overall football teams battle next Sunday.
Now let's bring in from SRN Broadcasting in Chicago, Steve Leventhal. Steve, a couple questions for you. First off, did you think the Eagles were going to have such an easy time with the Vikings?
I never in a million years would have thought that. But again, I've been wrong each week. Certainly at the end of the regular season, the Eagles did not look that good, trying to get full some reps with, you know, in real game situations. But I tell you, I thought, you know, the Vikings would have just wiped the floor with them. But boy, was I wrong.
Okay. And New England had a nice big lead. And then Jacksonville had a nice big lead, and then New England erased it and came back to put the dagger through their hearts. At any time, were you expecting that the Jaguars would actually hold on and win the game?
Well, I kind of thought they would have, based on the way their defense played, and also based on the fact that Gronk got knocked out with a concussion early in that game. There's their best wide receiver, the beast, as he keeps getting referred to. And yet New England did what they always seem to do, is find a way to win.
Now we bring in from the Sports Byline USA Radio Network and SB Nation Radio. You can hear him 10 p.m. Pacific time, Monday through Thursday, at sportsbyline.com and SB Nation Radio. He is Jeff Rich. Jeff, how are you today?
I'm doing well. It's been a while since I talked to you guys, so ready to roll.
First off, did you think the Jaguars could hold on when they built the big lead?
When they built the big lead, I mean, anything's possible. We've seen what this team was able to do to the Pittsburgh Steelers throughout the season, but apparently the New England Patriots are a completely different animal altogether. And Blake Bortles, Tom Brady, he is not.
Yeah, and I was thinking when they had, you know, they were up by quite a bit, and I was thinking, you know, this just isn't going to last. I think after that Super Bowl last year, and even before that, but especially after that, you could have a 28-point lead on Tom Brady and still not be safe unless it's, you know, a good chunk into the fourth quarter.
They have a flair for the dramatic. I mean, this is going to be the eighth Super Bowl that Belichick and Brady go to as members of the New England Patriots. And, you know, if you recall, the first three all won on Adam Vinatieri field goals. The two losses to the Giants, both games, they had opportunities to at least tie the game on the final possession. It's the only time the Brady's come up short is when he's taken on Tom Coughlin teams. And I think that's why everybody gave Jacksonville a glimmer of hope, because of those Tom Coughlin Giants teams. Tom Coughlin involved with the Jacksonville Jaguars, although a little more peripherally than he was as the head coach of the Giants. And then, you know, the Seahawks, they get the interception on the goal line, and Atlanta, they win the game in overtime. So all seven games come down to fourth quarter possessions, and five times the Patriots come out on top, and twice they came up a little bit short. So we have every reason to believe that this will be a close game, but all of these playoff games, going back to the Tuck Rule game where it all began, New England came through in the end.
Yeah, Jeff, and, you know, those losses to the Giants, you know, the possession before that, Brady was doing his magic anyway, and it was the defense that let him down. So, and they got lucky against the Seahawks, bad play calling, and they really had to rally against the Falcons, and all the cards had to fall their way, which they did. So there are a couple they lost that they maybe should have won, a couple they won, maybe they should have lost, but it's their eighth Super Bowl since 2000. That's just incredible. So you have to say that the Patriots are the best dynasty ever and over a long period of time. Jeff Rich with us from the Sports. Go ahead.
it's kind of weird, though, because there's that big gap. There's that big gap between them beating the Eagles in 2005 and then beating the Seahawks a few years ago. I mean, they were in those two games against the Giants, but dynasty or not, they didn't get there every other year. There was a pretty wide gap in between championships for Belichick. I think it's pretty unprecedented in all of sport. I mean, Vermeil got there with the Eagles and then won it with the Rams, but there was obviously a massive gap. There was like a 20-year gap there, but it wasn't what the Patriots have done, and it makes the dynasty feel a little bit longer because there were some years in between that they didn't get there.
Yeah, there were gaps, but they still got to two of those Super Bowls. You know, they were, I think it was only three or four years from the last one in their first run of three until that Giants-Patriots Super Bowl. So even though they weren't winning these, they were still in it. And I think, you know, there's something to be said for that. Go ahead, Steve. I know you're waiting to jump into this conversation.
Well, no, I just keep thinking back to that Super Bowl last year. That's like your worst nightmare, the two coaches you hate the least, Petey Red Bull and Bill Belichick going against each other, and somebody's still got to win that game.
Hate the least or hate the most?
Hate the most.
Least. We don't hate on this show.
We care for them the least.
Yeah, we care for them the least, Steve. Come on.
You want to see them fail the most.
I did. But you got to give them credit. I mean, it's just amazing. All right, Jeff, so that's coming up. What are your prognostications here?
As far as Patriots v. Eagles in the Super Bowl, I think that the Eagles have a pretty good football team. Unfortunately, I do think that this is where not having the quarterback catches up with them. No disrespect to Nick Foles, but, you know, the last time I saw you in person, you gave me a little bit of grief because I said that Case Keenum is going to turn into a pumpkin. It took a couple of months, but he threw four touchdown passes the day that I was clowning him. And, we're coming off a near-perfect performance by Nick Foles in the NFC Championship against a Vikings team that had their hopes up so much to play that big game in their own stadium. And instead, you've got these obnoxious Eagles fans that treated Viking fans like garbage, both before, during, and after the game of the NFC Championship in Philadelphia. It just seems like there couldn't be a less deserving fan base of another Super Bowl experience, and, you know, the Eagles franchise has never won one.
Well, some people might find that an endearing quality of the Eagles fans. But let me put in context what I said about Case Keenum to you. We were talking about backup quarterbacks, and you said Case Keenum wasn't going to be the guy. That was, what, about 10 weeks into the season, Jeff? And he got him all the way to the NFC Championship game. And what I was doing was comparing him to what the Packers did with Brett Hundley. Okay, the Eagles, they had a good, experienced backup quarterback. The Vikings, they had a good, experienced backup quarterback. Were these guys big stars? No. But they had some experience and could win some games. And it turned out that Green Bay season went away when Aaron Rodgers did. So that's where the comparison was. You follow? I wasn't trying to get on your case or anything. And I think maybe it was because you didn't buy me any beer at that point.
Is that a backhanded compliment?
At that point, and Leventhal was there for this. At that point, I didn't think you needed any more beer, Packer.
No, that's not true.
The word "no more beer" does not exist in his vocabulary.
That's rude. I hate you guys. Okay, so you say the Patriots are going to win.
I say the Patriots have a very good chance to come out victorious in this one. But, you could say something about the do factor, the D-U-E factor for the Philadelphia Eagles. You know, it's really a shame when you're riding high like that and then you lose the momentum by losing your starting quarterback. It's a shame. We've seen it plenty of times throughout these NFL playoff seasons. And, you know, maybe that defense is just good enough to hold up. You know, there's no secret to what Tom Coughlin's Giants teams were able to do. You clobber the quarterback, and you don't give Brady the confidence to have that poise in the pocket to move around and make things happen. Not being a superstar laden team, and I know that Cooks and Amendola are very good football players. They seem to get it done with these smaller running backs. But if you rattle Brady, you can take him out of the game. And that's really going to be the key for Fletcher Cox, Derek Barnett, and that front seven of the Philadelphia Eagles.
It was rather impressive, you know, what New England did, given the fact that Gronkowski got knocked out of the game with the concussion protocol. But on the other hand, I just can't tell you how impressed I am with that Philadelphia defense, because Atlanta, high-powered offense, good quarterback, they shut them down. Minnesota, they shut them down. So I think they have a pretty good chance against New England. So don't be surprised if that all of a sudden New England, the high-scoring offense, only puts up 10 or 14 points on the board.
Yeah, I don't know what the formula is to beat, you know, from an offensive perspective, how you beat that Patriots defense. It doesn't seem like, you know, I mean, they've gotten rid of Chandler Jones, they've gotten rid of Jamie Collins over the years. They, you know, they seem to subtract, and the production level doesn't fall off. And that, you know, that's a testament to what Matt Patricia has done. And this might be the window, if you believe in the disciples of Belichick being his strength. You know, these lieutenants, Josh McDaniels moving on to the Colts, Matt Patricia moving on to the Detroit Lions. You know, Belichick's got to restock not only his player personnel, but now also his coaching staff. Let's see if this is the end of an era. And if it is, you have to believe that the New England Patriots, with this coaching staff as it is, would like to go out on top.
It's it will not be the end of an era. Those coaches will go. As long as Brady is there, next 2-3 years, they'll be fine. And Belichick.
Well, when does age catch up with Brady? I figure it's just going to happen. We're not going to see it gradually happen. It's just going to happen when the production's not there. I think it could be as early as halfway through the 2018 season. Definitely by the end of the 2019 season. I'm kind of against you on this. I think this might be the last Patriots Super Bowl. With the Brady Belichick dynamic.
I don't know if I woke up every morning next to Gisele Bündchen, it'd probably keep me pretty young too.
All right, I'll make sure Mrs. Leventhal gets a copy of the show.
Hypothetically speaking, of course.
Jeff, I'll bet you on that. I think he's going to be there next couple of years. I don't think you fall off the cliff. If he takes a big hit, maybe, but he doesn't take these big hits. And by the way, I had our analytics staff, statisticians, the team of them, go back into...
Huey, Dewey, and Louie?
did you have them run the wheel after they were done crunching those numbers for you?
And eight in a row, eight AFC championship games in a row, dating back to 2011. Absolutely incredible. Okay, moving on to the NBA. We got the All-Star game coming up, Steve. And by the way, what's the most appropriate way to say the Bucks Giannis Antetokounmpo's name? Am I saying it right?
Greek
Jeff
freak. The Greek freak.
Well, whatever. But the real name.
Yeah, you know, I usually just try to spit it out and move on from it when I'm bringing it up. But Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Okay. Well, he's really good. Last I saw, he was second in the league in scoring. People don't even know who he is. Why don't you tell us about him, Jeff?
He's this long player that can run the floor. I think he's a lot like Durant. I think Durant would probably be the best comparison for him. I think that he's the second best player in the Eastern Conference behind LeBron James, probably ahead of what Kyrie Irving has done and all the good things that Boston's done this year. But you know, the Bucks have a really good young core. I think that's why they wanted to move on from Jason Kidd, just because the talent level and the actual wins and losses weren't translating properly. And the Bucks are going to go with an interim guy for the time being, but you know, it's really not fair to the likes of Parker and Greek Freak to not channel that talent a little bit better and be a little more competitive in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, but Parker was out for a long time. He just got
Parker's
back.
Always out. Yeah, that's true.
And how about a note of congratulations to your boy LeBron James, the youngest player to hit 30,000 points. And, of course, he congratulated himself on Instagram. That was pretty funny.
Well, he congratulated his younger self. Yeah, he's a weird one, man. All that talent, the personality, it's got, I don't want to say flaws, it's just different. It's unique. And, you can call it dorky at times.
Okay. To Jeff his face. Rich. Monday through Thursday, 10 p.m. Pacific time, sportsbyline.com. How are you liking the show, Jeff?
Is this the end of the segment? I'm going to miss it. It's coming.
Well, no, you'll get to do one next month. We go monthly after the NFL season, so we'll be back again next month. But how are you liking the show on Sports Byline and also SB Nation?
I enjoy doing it. It's a late night show, so I can be a little bit quirky, you know, more so be myself than try to be sterile and stay within the lines. I think that the late night audience, usually I'm a little more sober than my callers and probably most of my audience when you consider we're on from 1 to 3 in the morning. But it's been a lot of fun, and it should continue to be fun going forward, especially when we're grasping at straws once we don't have football to talk about anymore.
Okay, we also had several texts and emails come in within the last 30 seconds requesting just a quick update on college hoops, Steve.
Well, just, you know, it's, again, we're right in the thick of the college hoop season. So hopefully you've been paying a little bit of attention to it. But my comment was just going to be about the Virginia Cavaliers and how incredible they are. They're undefeated in the ACC, which is not an easy feat to do. I've only seen them once. They played incredible defense. You know, when a team like North Carolina, my team, that is a very good offense, struggles to get off a shot before the shot clock expires, that talks volumes.
Yeah, Virginia basketball is pretty boring to watch. But how about the Ohio State basketball program under Chris Holtmann? Undefeated in the Big Ten, as I talked to you this morning, and just kind of came out of nowhere. I mean, this basketball program has been left for dead for many, many years.
Okay, thank you, Jeff. That's it for Jeff Rich from the Sports Byline Network. Take care. We'll talk to you next month, my friend.
All right, I appreciate it.
Okay, we'll be back after this with our professor of sports, John Poulter. I'm Packer Dave, along with Steve Leventhal. You're listening to the Sports Report.
Have you ever been turned down, rejected, or downright denied because of bad credit? Don't let your dreams disappear. We here at National Credit Advisor can help you qualify for that new car you've been dreaming about or that new home you know you deserve. Never again be rejected because of bad credit. Just call us here at National Credit Advisor today and see how much we can help boost your credit score. We've helped thousands repair their credit so they could finally start qualifying for the purchases they've been dreaming about. Stop being held back from getting the things you want. We help rebuild your credit score so you can qualify for the home, car, or credit card you deserve. No matter how bad your credit is, just call 1-800-605-3081 today to see how much we can help your credit score. No one is turned away. Call now, 1-800-605-3081. That's 1-800-605-3081. Again, 1-800-605-3081.
Good evening. I'm Ron Burgundy, and this is what's happening in your world tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Hi, Packer Dave. This is Jeff Foxworthy saying if you sit outside in 10-degree weather with a piece of cheese on your head, you might be a redneck.
I'm Packer Dave, along with Steve Leventhal from SRN Broadcasting in Chicago. It is the Eagles and the Patriots Super Bowl, and that is not this Sunday, but next Sunday. Let's hear from Eagles quarterback Nick Foles. Time to prepare.
I don't know if it's really hit me. I've just sort of been staying in the moment, in the sense of, like, just preparing for this game. You know, this is, our next game, a great opponent in the Patriots. And so my mindset, obviously, after the game, that experience, experiencing that with Philadelphia fans, the organization, family members, teammates, I mean, that's something that's really special. And so we're enjoying that for the next couple of days and just, you know, there's time to reflect and just, you know, my family is here, my wife's family. So just sitting there and just enjoying that time with them. But now it's back to preparing because this is a great game, a great responsibility, and I know we're all focused on, you know, preparing for this game.
Tight end Zach Ertz comments on his counterpart across the field, Rob Gronkowski.
That guy has been doing it for a long time. I think his second year in the league, he set the record for touchdowns from the tight end position and yards. I think it's at 1327. So he set pretty much every tight end record out there. The guy is a physical specimen. He's a freak. He's able to use his body. He obviously has a very good quarterback throwing him the ball, but he would still be producing those numbers with or without Tom Brady. I've definitely learned a lot from him. He's a beast after the catch. He's able to use his body whenever he wants to get open. Even when he's not open, he's open with the frame that he has and the ball skills that he has. So he's definitely someone that's been the preeminent tight end in this league for a long time, and he's an unbelievable player.
So again, the Eagles and the Patriots, it should be a good Super Bowl. Okay, now on the sports report, we bring in our professor of sports from Toronto. He is John Poulter. John, how are you today?
I'm doing very well, thanks, guys, and hope you are as well.
I'm doing great. Steve, how about you?
I'm raring and ready to go, just like I was this last segment.
Okay, well, Steve is in Chicago, John is in Toronto, and the Blackhawks and the Leafs just played, Steve.
That's right, and actually, this is the first Blackhawks game all season that I've watched, and it was certainly an exciting game.
Oh, that's great to hear. That's great to hear. You're a host of a sports show. We're a good chunk into the NHL season, and you just expose yourself to the entire listening audience that you are. I don't know if he should be on this segment, yeah. John.
One of these days, maybe he'll actually toss a compliment in this direction.
Well, there's always hope.
Yeah,
Steve. There's always hope.
I'm still waiting.
I always say you're really good at college basketball. You know your stuff there. College football too. Soccer very much. But if you don't know a lot about something, you don't just come on the air and say, you know, I'm a complete idiot in this particular area, but I'll comment anyway.
Yeah, well, you mask it well. I guess I'm a believer in transparency and full disclosure.
Well, we don't want any of that on this show, all right? Just stop it.
Okay, how about another minute that nobody's going
to
get back?
Sorry to have interrupted. Continue with how much little you know on hockey. I'm interested to hear it. Go ahead.
How little I know about hockey?
Yes, because you just watched your first game, Blackhawks.
This year? No, I've watched a lot of hockey. I actually covered the Blackhawks in their very first Stanley Cup. I like the sport. It's some of the same things I like about soccer, because a lot of it's about possessing the puck, or the ball in this case, setting it up and trying to get a good shot. Right, John?
Very much so. Very much a team game.
All right, don't look for John to bail you out.
And of course, the Blackhawks, they took this game. They tied it up. They got it into overtime. And about 2 seconds into overtime, they had a breakaway. The Blackhawks basically created a penalty, because he did what you do in just about any sport. You tackle the guy before he gets into the scoring territory.
Yeah, not the most subtle thing I've ever seen. But clearly last night was a game between two teams that are both heading in the wrong direction at the moment. Teams that have an awful lot of talent, certainly more talent on paper than we've seen in the standings in the last few weeks. Sort of a couple of teams that I won't say were desperate, but certainly two teams that were running around with lead in their pockets for the last little while. So you knew something had to break, because the way that the NHL is set up now, nobody can walk away from a game without at least one of them getting 2 points. So interesting that it went to overtime. I thought it was a pretty interesting game for the pieces that I saw. The second period in particular, I thought the Blackhawks outplayed the Leafs, but Frederik Andersen played very well. And the Blackhawks still have this issue of they're not scoring goals. They're not playing well at home. They're not beating teams that they should be beating at home. And that has sort of been the story of their season. And that icing issue with Seabrook in the first period that actually cost the tying goal for a veteran defenseman, I thought that was a bit of a bonehead play, quite frankly. And perhaps this is an aftermath of him not playing last week or 2 weeks ago in Ottawa when he was sat out as a healthy scratch. I think Quenneville said that basically he just has to start playing better. And I was very disappointed in him last night, because I know he's a much better hockey player than that. Just one of those mental lapses that every athlete goes through once in a while. unfortunately for him, it was at a key time.
Yeah, and I noticed that a couple of times in the third period. Puck's going back into the Blackhawks defensive zone, and nobody gets back, you know, and they let the offensive guy get back, so they waved off the icing call. A couple of chances there.
Yeah, that happens a lot now that they have this discretionary icing where the linesman can sort of make the call at the face-off circle in the defensive end, where if he feels that the defenseman is not going to get to the puck, he can call it automatically. And I think there's a lot of hesitation on the part of defensemen thinking that that's going to be called and sort of trying to read the linesman's mind. And we all know how dangerous that can be. And when you're playing a team like Toronto, which has a lot of young, good skaters, guys with fast legs and energetic guys, you got to watch out for that, because this is not 1980s hockey. This is not 1990s hockey where we got a lot of lead foots out there. Most of the guys in this league now can skate, and certainly Toronto has half a dozen of those young guns that can really move, and veteran defensemen have to be aware of that.
Okay, John. You know, Steve says I never compliment him. I'm going to throw one your way, Steve.
Oh, wait, I better make sure the tape's rolling on this one.
You have done a great job at listening to John in this segment. You are a fine, fine listener, and I think your listening skills.
It's like the old polish. You can polish a turd up. It's still a turd.
And if you don't know anything about hockey, Steve, don't just tell everybody. Use the old Hillary Clinton adage.
Fake it until you make it. All right, well, okay. Why don't we hear from Coach Joel Quenneville, because he was asked about this homestand that certainly did not turn out the way it should have.
It was a tough homestand when you look at it and you sum it all up, points-wise, games that were valuable situations as far as keeping us in the race, and now we put ourselves in a tremendous hole. And then let's try to get a little life out of tomorrow, but we're certainly left a lot on the table here.
Yeah, I know it's getting too late for moral victories, but can you take some positives out of this? Was it relatively well? We got a couple power play goals.
The last power play goals tonight certainly helped. And our last game, a lot of positives in that game. As far as a lot of good things tonight, the league's good. And, you know, I think you got to find ways to win games. And find different ways to get some production as well.
All right, John, your thoughts?
Well, he certainly sounds very down, doesn't he? I think he's become very much a realist. I've always thought that Quenneville was a very upbeat sort of guy, and certainly with the team that he had on the ice, he had reason to be upbeat. But that's about as down as I've heard him sound in quite some time. And clearly, there's some kind of an issue there with the Blackhawks, whether they're getting old, whether they've got just too many miles on them, whether other teams are catching up with them. It's hard to say. There's probably a variety of reasons. But, you know, at the moment, they're not sitting all that well. They're 6 points out of that second wild card spot, which is not good. Colorado, 6 points ahead of them. And with a game in hand, and we all know how well Colorado has been playing lately. We talked about that last week, and Colorado was here in Toronto this week. I believe it was Monday night, and basically handed the Leafs a defeat, and a defeat that was a fair and square defeat. Colorado, young team, just like the Leafs, playing good hockey, getting good goaltending, surprisingly from Jonathan Bernier. But at the end of the day, Colorado's a much better hockey club than I think any of us would have given them credit for at the start of the season. So the Blackhawks certainly have their work cut out. We've talked before about how strong that central division is. Winnipeg, 65 points right now. Chicago at the bottom with 14 points. So we got the whole division covered by 14 points. And the Blackhawks only have one game in hand on Winnipeg. Perhaps the team to watch out there for is Nashville. Nashville is 2 points behind Winnipeg and has played three less games, so they might be the team that's in the best position. But certainly the Blackhawks got an awful lot of work to do before they can get back to where they want to be. And this road trip that starts Thursday night in Detroit, then there's the All-Star break, and then they go out to Western Canada. They've got a pretty tough late January, early February, and only one sort of soft touch, if you want to call it a soft touch, in Arizona. Being on that schedule, the rest of the games are teams like the Kings, Anaheim, Washington, Dallas, Calgary, Nashville, Vancouver. It's not looking like it's an easy road for the Blackhawks. Certainly there's some work to be done there, and I heard yesterday that there's a possibility that Corey Crawford may travel with the team on this road trip, and not to demean the way that Jeff Glass has played, but I think getting Corey Crawford back would be a huge boost to the Blackhawks at this point.
Okay, John. By the way, 77 degrees in Arizona today.
Yeah, rub it in. It's 15 degrees here, but we are going to get a high supposedly of 25 today, and it's going to be 41 on the weekend. So we're about half as good as you are, Dave.
Okay. And Steve, I'll be thinking of you when I'm at the pool also in Chicago there.
I know. I was just down in Orlando, and it was about 80 degrees. I'm walking around in shorts and a T-shirt. They're all, even when it's in the 70s, they're all sitting there with long pants and sweatshirts on, and I'm thinking, boy, this is nuts.
When it's in the 60s here, it is freezing. I can't take it. All right, John, let's look around the rest of the NHL and what stands out to you at this point in the season.
Well, there's a couple of things that are jumping out at me. Looking at the Metropolitan Division, Washington in first place, New Jersey in second place, but both of those teams have lost three in a row. And all of a sudden, the Philadelphia Flyers won four in a row. They're back in that race, tied with New Jersey for second with 56 points, 5 points behind Washington. And at the start of the season, Philadelphia went through that 10-game losing streak. And we were all sitting here thinking it's only a matter of time before the shoe drops and somebody loses their job in Philadelphia, but all of a sudden they're 8-2 in their last 10 and they're back in that race. So that has sort of jumped out at me. Pittsburgh and the Rangers continue to struggle. The Islanders continue to struggle. Tampa Bay starting to slow down a little bit. Boston hot, 8-0-2 in their last 10, four in a row. We talked about them last week as well, being a team that has played a little bit above expectations. So those are the teams in the East that are sort of catching my eye. And in the West, as we've talked many times, that surprising Golden Knights team, 68 points, 47 games, first place in the West. I just don't know when that bubble is going to burst. Surely it has to at some point, but it hasn't shown any signs of doing so lately. And as we talked a few minutes ago, Winnipeg and Nashville battling out at the top of the Central Division. Two good teams. Winnipeg right now still the best team in the National Hockey League from Canada, and that's a bit of a surprise too, but they're playing good hockey without Mark Scheifele, who in my opinion is their best player.
Well, you mentioned the Islanders a moment ago, and I saw on the network broadcast, because that game was nationally televised, they were talking about, I guess the Coliseum is almost finished, but the Islanders are playing some games in Brooklyn, and then they're talking about splitting between the two states. Are they suffering from road fatigue this year?
They're not playing any games in Long Island this year, to the best of my knowledge. They're still playing in Brooklyn, which is, I guess there's a, I'm not a New Yorker. I've been to New York a few times, not one of my favorite cities, so I don't pretend to understand the geography. But my understanding is that Islander fans don't like traveling to Brooklyn to watch the games. The other issue is that the stadium was built for basketball, so it's not a very good hockey stadium. It's much the same as the arena in Phoenix that was never built for hockey. Great arena for basketball, but was terrible for hockey. When I think it used to be called America West Arena. I'm not sure what it's called now. These sponsorships change so quickly. But at one point, you know, the Islanders were looking at staying in Brooklyn long term. I believe they've got another year, perhaps another 2 years on their lease. There's a brand new building being built out in Long Island, which is where they will end up going back to, which quite frankly is probably where they belong. So I'm not sure it's road fatigue, Steve. I think it's a little bit of uncertainty over where they have been playing. The fact that most of them are probably living out on Long Island and practicing somewhere out there and playing their games in Brooklyn, and there's the commuting into town. I think that's perhaps a factor, but certainly not a case of being on the road and being out of their own homes and their own beds each night. I think it's just one of those things. It's a strong division, a strong conference, and it's a very even conference. And somebody's got to be at the top and somebody's got to be at the bottom. And quite frankly, they're not that far out. They're only 8 points behind Washington, which isn't a lot to make up when you think of it. It's only four games. And if we were in a baseball season just over halfway through it and somebody was four games out, we wouldn't think too much about it.
Talking Stick Resort, John, is where the Phoenix Suns play downtown.
Is that what it's called now?
Talking Stick Resort.
Yeah, but the Suns and the Coyotes don't play in the same arena.
They do not. But he was talking about the old stadium they played in that was a basketball stadium and not good for hockey.
Yeah, that's America. Now, do they not play at America? What was America West Arena anymore, Dave? Have they moved up to Talking Stick?
It was America West Arena. Now it's called Talking Stick Resort. I mean, after the Talking Stick Resort that's on the 101 going north, John, as you're well familiar.
I was thinking that perhaps there was a new stadium out by the baseball stadium.
Okay. The Talking Stick Resort is there no matter what direction you're going. You could even be going east and west.
Usually if you're going to the Talking Stick Casino, your money's going south.
That's true. Funny. See? Steve is funny. That's a compliment right there.
All right.
What a yuckster. Good Lord. Okay. Now let's move on to the wonderful world of soccer, Steve.
And as far as I can see, the real game on the marquee matchup, of course, is Manchester at Tottenham.
Yeah, you got to think that's going to be the key game. This week is FA Cup week, so that's sort of where I've been concentrating my views this week. Interesting situation. 14 Premier League teams still in the FA Cup. Two of them definitely will be going out this weekend because we've got two of the ties Premier League teams on both sides of the equation. We've already got six Premier League teams that went out in the third round, and we're going to get two more go out this weekend. So at the very best, we're going to be into the fifth round with only 12 Premier League teams. And not too many attractive ties this week in terms of the FA Cup. I guess West Brom and Liverpool might be the closest one, but the way Liverpool's been playing lately and the way West Brom's been playing lately, I got to feel that's a pretty easy win for Liverpool, especially since it's at Anfield. And the other all-Premier League matchup is Watford against Southampton on the south coast, and a couple of teams that are really sort of going nowhere right now. The rest of the teams, I should have mentioned Chelsea and Newcastle. That might be the best game of the all-Premier League matchups. That's at Stamford Bridge in London. The rest of the first division team, or the rest of the Premier League teams, I should say, all have a pretty easy road, at least on paper. Manchester United playing down in Somerset at tiny Yeovil. Leicester City playing in Peterborough. Brighton going to Middlesbrough. Birmingham going to Huddersfield. Swansea City going to Notts County. Tottenham going to Newport County. Manchester City going to Cardiff City. All pretty easy wins on paper, if you look at them. Games we know are not played on paper, so let's hope that those Premier League managers don't water down their squads too much and get themselves embarrassed like Real Madrid this week in the Spanish Cup, where they left some of their stars out and were defeated by a much lower team.
And, John, we're almost at the end of the January transfer window, so we should make mention of some of the deals. It was ostensibly, I guess, what would be equivalent to a trade, which usually doesn't happen. It's usually just a player moving in one direction or the other.
Yeah, that's very unusual. I've seen it happen a few times. The first time I remember was back in the 60s, and it was a straight swap. Was called a straight swap in those days as opposed to a trade, and it was just basically two players. I think it was Nottingham Forest and Wolves exchanged left wingers. But very unusual, especially to see a player of the caliber of Alexis Sanchez move on a straight exchange or a swap. I look at this from a little bit of a biased standpoint, being a Manchester United shareholder and Manchester United fan. I got to think that Manchester United got the better of this deal, certainly in terms of talent. Mkhitaryan hadn't been playing very much. Sanchez will make a huge impact in terms of where they go. And from a financial standpoint, yes, the wages are bigger for Sanchez, so there's a loss there in terms of Manchester United having to pay more. But when you look at what each respective player cost when their previous teams purchased them, I think Mkhitaryan cost Manchester United £30 million. Sanchez cost Arsenal £26 million. So I got to think that Manchester United won this deal. They got the better player, and if you match up the original transfer fees, they got the better player and paid £4 million less. So got to perform on the field, but certainly on paper it looks like it's a pretty good deal for Manchester United.
John Poulter, our professor of sports from Toronto, always good information. Hockey and soccer today. When we get into the baseball season, he'll be a source of great information right here on the Sports Report. John, thanks a lot for coming on the show.
My pleasure as always, guys, and we'll chat next show.
Unlike me, I'm not a great source of information, am I?
You are in certain things. You are. Hot soccer, you're good, Steve. But just don't come on the air and say, "Well, I watched a game this year finally, so I guess I'll comment on it." How dumb is that? All right. John, thanks for coming on. Did I say that already?
Yeah, my pleasure as always,
okay.
Dave.
Okay, always a pleasure. And we'll see. Hey, you're going to be in Arizona here in a couple months, right?
Yeah, I'm going to be down there first 3 weeks of April.
Awesome. We'll see you then. Okay. And you we'll betcha. Talk to you before then, obviously. Okay, well, we want to thank you for listening to this week's edition of the Sports Report. Remember, you can get us online at kwwradio.com. and internetfm.com. Now we move to shows each month through the NFL offseason. So look for new postings each month online. And for Steve Leventhal from SRN Broadcasting in Chicago, for John Poulter, our professor of sports from Toronto, for Jeff Rich from Arizona, and myself, Packer Dave, want to thank you for listening. Take care. Enjoy that Super Bowl. Have a great week. Bye now.
Bye-bye. Goodbye.
Keep your feet in the ground and keep reaching for the stars.
That's right, tough guy.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Get some beers, scumbag.
Goodbye.
Tell you what, dipstick, you can just come on down here and smooch my big old white butt. Pucker up, buttercup.
Yeah, I hear you, fruitcake.
Oh, it's hopeless. I ought to club them and eat their bones.
Goodbye.
Now you ladies, carry on.
Excellent.
See you later, pal. I'm going home.
Wait a minute.
Well, I'm glad that's over. Now it's over.
Good night, ladies.
Good night, sir.
Let's get out of here.